The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a summer blockbuster bubbling toward the surface. A 14 super swap that would change everything. We're all over it. Then, the most desirable free agent in football has put together a list. Wait till you hear which team is right at the top. Spoiler alert, it is the one you think. And then, so long silence. Lamar sounds off on social. You'll hear what he said. We'll tell you what it means as we get up with you, starting right now. With a full house on a Thursday, delighted you were there getting up with us. Brooke Pryor is here talking football this morning. Chris Canty is ready to roll. Tim Bontemps is in our studio today with the basketball insight, and that's not all. Take a look at the wall. Jeff Darlington's got stuff to do today. Timmy Legler has come back from his vacation, and he's ready to roll. Lots of hoops to get to, but we begin with the two most important words in sports today. Shohei Ohtani, Angels, Astros, last night. Ohtani doing it all over the diamond, first off on the mound. This is Yuli Gurriel, and he doesn't have a chance. Ohtani, 100 miles an hour on the fastball. We're still in the second inning. The Angels a 1-0 lead, and that's Ohtani showing no mercy, cruising through the bottom of the lineup. Now, bottom half of the second, Angels up 1-0, and that's Ohtani, and that's a rip to right field. A fair ball with two runners on. Both will score. Ohtani's going to leg out a triple. He's the first Angels pitcher to triple since Nolan Ryan in 1972. Angels a 3-0 lead. Top of three, same score, Ohtani. Oh, Jose Altuve just doesn't have a chance on the 1-2 fastball. 101 miles an hour. Top of six now. Angels lead is 3-1. More from Shohei Ohtani. 12 strikeouts, 6 innings, gave up one run, 2-for-4 at the plate with the triple, and the Angels win it behind their stud, 7-1. Ohtani, 46 strikeouts and one earned run over his last four starts. It's the fifth time since 1913 that a pitcher has that many strikeouts and no more than one earned run over a four-game span. He also joins Ryan as the only Angels pitchers to record four straight 10-strikeout games. He is simply spectacular. So is Tim Legler, and Timmy Legs is back with us here on a busy week in the NBA. Legs, we haven't talked to you since a lot of stuff has happened, so let's sum up a few of them in one word. When I say the Utah Jazz are listening to trade offers on Donovan Mitchell, what's the one word that comes to mind?
Has to be inevitable, Greeny, when you look at what this organization did. You know, they had a group that was put together there for several years trying to contend in the Western Conference. It didn't happen. And once you trade Rudy Gobert, you have a coaching change. It looks like they're going in a completely different direction. Joe Ingles leaves. To me, inevitable that Donovan Mitchell would eventually leave town.
When I bring up the possibility of Kyrie Irving being traded to the Lakers, what's one word for that?
Revelation, Greeny, and it's as in he had a revelation that, you know what, it wasn't so bad playing with LeBron James after all. I think this is a perfect lane for Kyrie Irving to be in. It's the one lane that he won in. He was comfortable, eventually wanted his own team in Boston. That didn't work out. Didn't work out in Brooklyn. So now he is back in his comfort zone, potentially, if he ends up next to LeBron.
And then how about Kevin Durant? 2 weeks ago, he makes the trade request. What's one word for that?
Predictable. I mean, when you look at what happened in Oklahoma City, he went to the team that they were trying to beat in Golden State to give himself a better path to win. He doesn't like the situation now in Brooklyn, so he's going to go try to find a place where he can go win again, whether that's Phoenix or Miami, the two teams at the top of his wish list.
Yeah, and so speaking of Durant, as we sit here trying to put together a trade for him, yesterday on NBA Today, our front office insider Bobby Marks had a four-team deal that would move both Durant and Donovan Mitchell. Here's what he thought.
Let's start with two players under the age of 25 and Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, and then you add a player like Miles Turner. So that checks the boxes for Brooklyn as far as what they are looking for. Then let's go to Phoenix. Kevin Durant, okay? That checks the boxes for Phoenix. We've all talked about DeAndre Ayton in a potential offer sheet. This is a sign-in trade. He goes to Indiana. Here's the big question. Is this enough for the Utah Jazz? When you look at Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, 5 first round picks, 4 from Phoenix, 1 from Indiana, and then 3 swap rights.
So that's the trade that Bobby Marks is putting together here as we're all trying to figure out how to piece it together. My insider this morning is Tim Bontemps. Tim, what do you think of it as we look at that as a possibility here to get both Durant, what he wants, it would seem, and Mitchell, what he wants, it would seem. How do we like it?
Well, I'd like it because Lakers could go back to vacation. I could start mine because all the offseason business would be done all at once, which would be great. But look, I think if you look at the overall trade landscape right now in the league, the Nets don't have a deal they like for Kevin Durant. That's why Kevin Durant's still on the team. And to me, as it sits right now, with Summer League wrapping up, I don't think we're going to see a trade in the coming days. And I think that means we're getting closer and closer to the possibility of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving being on this Nets team to start the season. Now, a couple weeks ago, didn't seem like that was going to happen. But frankly, we just have not seen the Kevin Durant trade market materialize the way we thought it would. When you look at a guy who's 34, the injury issues he's had with the money that's on his deal, teams look at the Nets and say, this is a vulnerable team. We don't have to offer a lot for him. The Nets are saying, we've got Kevin Durant. We're not going to give him up unless we get a haul like Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, and Miles Turner. So to me, if a deal like that could come together, sure, the Nets would do it. Right now, they don't have that, and that's why we're sitting where we're at.
Right, and you put these 4 teams on the screen, and I like it. I mean, yesterday, Brian Windhorst said it's hard enough to get 4 people to agree on where to have dinner. Now
exactly.
You're trying to get 4 teams to come together
right.
On a trade where they're all reshaping their future. It's complicated, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. Bontemps does bring up, though, Legs, the possibility I've been talking about since I came back from my vacation, which is you're the Nets. I know last year was a disaster of bordering on biblical proportion, but you put together Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons because you think that is the core of a championship team. And to this point, you've still never even seen it once. Why not give it a try one time and see if you can make it happen? I continue to think the best course of action for everyone involved is for those 3 guys to stay right where they are. Legs, what do you think?
Well, listen, I hear what you're saying, and it's very possible, and Tim's right. They're probably going to end up starting the season that way because the teams just don't have the assets that it's going to take to get Kevin Durant. This is a complicated trade to try to work out to get equal value back and position yourself if you're the Nets. And if I'm Sean Marks, all I'm worried about is the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not trying to appease Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving and try to capitulate to their desires and needs and where they want to play. I'm not making a deal until I reload and restock my cabinet, so to speak, so I can move forward and hopefully contend in the near future. So there's a very likelihood that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are in Brooklyn to start the year. To answer your question, why not do that? Because there is no situation more untenable in sports than having superstar NBA players that don't want to be there and have made it clear they don't want to be there. Now, I don't doubt that Kevin Durant will show up and play hard and try to win and compete every night, but how long does that go on if he has made it clear he wants to be traded? You know, can he make it to the trading deadline next season? I don't know. Is it likely to go a month and then things going to start to go off the rails when you have a 4-game losing streak? I don't know the answer to that question. Clearly, that's the most talented team you can field to try to go out and win. I just don't know that NBA teams proceed that way once you know your star players don't want to be there.
So look, Kevin Durant is the centerpiece of this because he's an historically great player. But Kyrie Irving is also an important piece, at least for the Lakers, I think. It has felt to me like something of a basketball miracle could fall in their lap if they were able to turn Russell Westbrook into Kyrie Irving, which for a moment in time there felt like it might be on the verge of happening. What role, as we watch all this take place, we had 4 teams on the screen. Lakers weren't one of them.
That's right.
What role do the Lakers play in all of this?
The Lakers are passengers, Mike. They're passengers for just the reason you said. It would be a basketball miracle if they could turn Russell Westbrook, who at this point is an expiring contract and really nothing else to them in terms of value, into a player like Kyrie Irving. Now, as we saw, Adrian Wojnarowski reported a couple weeks ago, the Lakers were the one team willing to do a sign and trade, meaning signing Kyrie Irving to a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because they're desperate, right? They don't have another way to get a player of his caliber to give themselves a chance to be a championship-level team. Without Kyrie Irving, this team is not even close to a championship-level team. I think they're in the play-in tournament again. I think they could miss the playoffs again. So, yes, obviously it would be fantastic if they could get Kyrie Irving, but they're not going to be able to get Kyrie Irving with what they've got unless the Nets decide to blow this thing up. Because to me, as long as Kevin Durant is on their team, the Nets are going to hold on to Kyrie Irving and see if this thing is going to work, because while Kevin Durant's there, to your point before, the Nets have a chance to be an excellent team
right.
if they can actually get everybody on the court.
No, I agree. If they have Durant, they can't trade or they shouldn't trade away right. Kyrie Irving. If they do trade away Durant, then of course you trade away Kyrie
Irving.
That's
where the Lakers come from.
Very quickly, Legs, if I could, on the Lakers there. If you put together a core of LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie Irving, and I know the huge if in all of this is they're all healthy when we get to playoff time. But if they are, is that a legitimate title contender? Quickly.
Yeah, I think they're a title contender. You add that kind of talent to the mix, and but here's the key. Will they play enough games to have a decent seed in the regular season? That's the problem with LeBron and AD at this stage of their career, and even Kyrie Irving. And try to come out of the 6 or 7 spot maybe in the Western Conference, that might be tough to win 3 straight series on the road as good as the West is. But I think it'd be silly to not think could contend if you add Kyrie Irving to LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Okay, let me put the pick bars up there then very quickly here, and let's just sort of make our prediction. So they're out there for the world to see on Bastille Day, July 14th. Tim Legler, what team, I don't know why I said that, what team will Kevin Durant be playing for next season?
Ultimately, in his best interest, I'll answer it that way. It's the Phoenix Suns. I think that's the one place that makes the most sense for Kevin Durant because it's an organization that hasn't won, and he can go do something unique and special, and I think that could hopefully dispel a lot of the negative criticism that he gets if he were to lead a team like that to a championship.
Bontemps, what team?
I mean, you said Bastille Day because the Nets and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant have been trying to burn the league down, but while I agree with Legs that Phoenix is the best situation for Kevin Durant to go to if he goes somewhere else, I think he's going to be on the Nets for the same reason I said before. Being at Summer League the past week, there's just not interest in the kind of package necessary to get him out of Brooklyn. I think he and Kyrie are on the Nets to start the year.
It's good knowledge of French history. I also will go Brooklyn just because I think it makes sense. As ridiculous as it sounds, the best chance the Brooklyn Nets have of winning an NBA championship anytime in the foreseeable future is to try and find a way to keep those guys together and go forward from there. Much more hoops as we go with this crew, but as we continue to the NFL, we go so long silence. Lamar sounds off on social. You'll hear what he said, and we'll tell you what he means. Plus, the most desirable free agent in football has put together a list. Wait until you hear which team is right at the top. Here's a spoiler alert. It's exactly the one you think it is. That's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and we are sort of tiptoeing our way towards the start of the NFL season. Brooke Pryor is here today. Give us a bold prediction.
We're tiptoeing, but I'm going to cannonball straight in and say I don't think the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. They've won six times in a row, but I look at what the rest of this division has done. You add in Russell Wilson. You look at what the Chargers have. They re-sign Mike Williams. And you look at the Raiders. They add Devontae Adams. I think the rest of this division is catching up to the Chiefs. It's really hard to have that strong of a run that long. I think this is the year it comes to an end.
I like it. Canty, give me a bold prediction.
The 49ers will win the NFC West. And you know what I'm saying? The bar to clear is the world defending champs, the Los Angeles Rams. But think about it. Head-to-head, Kyle Shanahan has had Sean McVay's number. He's 7-4. And having Trey Lance as the starting quarterback, somebody with those movement skills, with that complex running game, it's going to be a problem for not only the NFC West, but the entire NFL.
Wow, I like that. Bookmark that. I want to come back to it. Let's move on to our next order of business here, and that is surrounding Vetman. It's Sean Payton, a fascinating NFL story, courtesy of longtime reporter Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. He's been down there covering the NFL for over three decades, and he wrote yesterday that former Saints head coach Sean Payton would be interested in the Dolphins, the Cowboys, or the Chargers for their head coaching positions should those jobs become available in 2023, which is a fascinating list when you look at it. And obviously, the one that will attract all the attention is the Cowboys. A, because they have the star on their helmet. B, because of the long-standing history between the owner there, Jerry Jones, and Sean Payton. And C, because of all the questions about the current coaching staff led by Mike McCarthy. So when you see this story out there, Canty, what's your first reaction?
Yeah, I think this is an obvious situation that everybody knows is developing this season. And a lot of coaches are going to be made to feel uncomfortable. But to me, if Sean Payton is interested in those three destinations, there are two that are obviously more, I guess, desirable than the other ones. And that would be the Dallas Cowboys because they have Dak Prescott, and the Los Angeles Chargers because they have a quarterback already in Justin Herbert. So with the Miami Dolphins, the jury is still out on Tua. They do have two first-round draft picks next year, and it's a quarterback-rich draft. But to me, the places that Sean Payton should really dial in on is Los Angeles with the Chargers and Dallas with the Dallas Cowboys.
Look, the Dolphins have hired a new head coach who hasn't even coached a game yet, so it would be something to be sitting here contemplating his eventual downfall. I do believe we have Jeff Darlington back with us. Jeff, how about this? Mike McCarthy didn't even get to the first day of training camp before the Sean Payton story started.
That's right. Well, that part of it, I actually believe. I believe that the Cowboys would certainly be in play for Sean Payton even before this season were to end. The Dolphins one is audacious to me, and it goes back to what my bold prediction was going to be, that Tua Tagovailoa has 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, and yes, I've been sick all week, so perhaps I'm a little bit delusional. But here, Mike McDaniel's going to come in, and if he is successful with Tua, that job is safe. Brandon Staley, seemingly like he's doing a really good job in San Diego, or with the Chargers as well, so that job feels safe. The Cowboys feels anything but safe. Sean Payton's name will be attached to that every single time the Cowboys lose a game. Sorry, Mike McCarthy, that's just the reality you're now living in.
This is the world that Mike McCarthy is going to inhabit for the next few months, at least, or unless, Brooke, this team starts fast, right? I mean, what he needs to do is win games, which I guess is what every coach needs to do.
Right, exactly. He needs to win games. I need to file good stories. We all have to find ways to keep our jobs, right? But if I'm Sean Payton and I look and I'm with Canty, I think his two best options are the Chargers and the Cowboys. But I believe in that report, one of the things that was cited as why he's looking at these teams is control over personnel decisions. I know the Cowboys are a destination that we've all linked him to. He's, you know, not been very shy about saying that's where he wants to be. But at the same time, do you really get that much control over personnel decisions when Jerry Jones is your boss? I mean, I if that's what he wants, if he wants warm weather and control, I'm going to the Chargers, and he has a really good blank slate to work with. Or I guess not blank slate. He has a strong starting slate to come from.
Well, yeah, I mean, generally speaking, they say, the coaches say, look at the owner and look at the quarterback. Certainly when it comes to the Chargers, they've got the quarterback. With Dallas, the owner is always a fascinating factor, but maybe it is the unique relationship that Sean Payton has with Jerry Jones that he feels he would have exactly the dynamic he wants.
Yeah, once upon a time, Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator down there in Dallas when I actually played on the team, but mm-hmm. Sean Payton is a Bill Parcells disciple, and you look back at how the organization ran when Bill was the central figure, And Bill had control over everything. He was the football czar. Now, eventually the relationship soured. They went their separate ways. But I could see a world where Jerry Jones, because of the urgency that he has to win a championship, defers to Sean Payton in all of those situations. They already got a great talent evaluator down there, Will McClay, that does a great job of buying the groceries, but allow Sean Payton to orchestrate all of it in order to get him the championship that he so desperately wants.
Darlington, quick final word.
Canty nailed it there. The relationship between Payton and Parcells actually could help. They could help figure out what went wrong between Parcells and Jerry Jones to make sure it wouldn't happen with Sean Payton, ultimately making it more successful.
All right, fascinating. So that's one big story from the NFL yesterday on social media. The other was much louder. I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. Now, earlier this week, he posted that tweet, "Silence is golden." And then almost immediately, he disregarded it completely. That was after the "I need money" image that he posted. So yesterday, after a series of tweets that started with our Ryan Clark complimenting Lamar Jackson, former Raven Bernard Pollard said this about Lamar Jackson, that no top wide receiver would ever come there. Plenty of receivers have been available. You see, it ends with him saying LJ is good, but he's not able to make the throws. Well, that's when Lamar Jackson got involved. He jumped in and started responding. One of his responses was, "You've been capping since I've been playing for the Ravens. I never heard of you. To be honest, you got your Super Bowl because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed that year." Canty loves it. And to be clear, that was part of a long exchange. And frankly, those were just some of the tweets that were suitable for the air. Canty, you love it.
I love it, man, because Lamar Jackson's absolutely right, man. Like Jay-Z said, nobody wins when the family feuds. And it's one thing for people at ESPN or talent around evaluators around the NFL to take shots at Lamar. But when you have a former Raven taking shots at him, saying that receivers don't want to come play there because you're the quarterback, that's a problem, especially when you know Lamar is trying to get his money. So Lamar is not wrong. Bernard Pollard's out of pocket on this one. He needs to check himself because Lamar is one of the top 10 quarterbacks in this league. Everybody needs to recognize that, understand that this guy is a unique talent because of how he does it, but he's still that dude.
Darlington, how about your thoughts?
When he's saying silence is golden, he's talking about the contract negotiations. I've never in 20 years covering the league seen one as under the covers as this one, because he's represented by a team of people, including his mother, not your conventional agent.
And Brooke, how about it here? Does it feel like Lamar Jackson has gone from saying nothing to all of a sudden this week being very active and saying any number of things? And maybe it really was that poll that ranked him outside the top 10 that aggravated him.
I think that that's more of the issue than the pressure of the contract getting to him. I mean, he knew that this is what would come when this process drags out. But when you're ranked outside the top 10, that just adds even more fuel to the fire. And I had a player tell me recently that he doesn't think Lamar is a top 10 quarterback. He got into the athlete discussion, but I think that he's not a top 10 quarterback in that player's eyes because he isn't the traditional quarterback that we see. I think he should be ranked there. But yeah, if you're Lamar Jackson, you're trying to get paid and this list comes out, that's not helping your case.
We'll see what happens. We're just a couple of weeks from the Ravens going to training camp here. We'll see if he gets a deal done before then. Meanwhile, speaking of dealing, Donovan Mitchell, is he in a New York state of mind? Would he make the Knicks a playoff team? Jay Williams on his way in studio. We'll talk hoops with him in a moment. And then, which quarterback needs to get to the Super Bowl this season more than any other? Chris Canty's put together a list. We're checking it twice. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up with the thriller of the night. You're not going to believe how this game ended last night in the Bronx. Yankees and Reds. The Yanks had lost three straight. They haven't lost four straight all year long. That's Luis Severino, and he has had better innings than this. In the top of the second, that's Kyle Farmer, who giving the Reds a 2-0 lead, hitting his sixth home run of the year. But wait, there's more, much more. Mike Moustakas is next. This is a changeup, and it hangs, and that's trouble, and it's out to right field. It's Moustakas' fifth home run of the year, so the Reds go back-to-back. They take a 3-0 lead, but hold on, we're not done. Stuart Fairchild is the next batter. That one is high and deep to left, and it's gone. His first career home run makes it three straight home runs for the Reds. 4-0 is the lead, and Severino would leave with right shoulder tightness. Now we go to the bottom of the eighth. Yankees are down 6-5, but they've got that man, Giancarlo Stanton, bang. Knocks that one over the wall for his 23rd of the year. Yankees tie it at 6, and 9 innings were insufficient to settle the issue. Let's show you how it ended. Bottom of 10, still all tied at 6. Yankees have first and second. Alex Diaz pitching, and not well. That one's going to get through Tyler Stevenson. Both runners move up, so DJ LeMahieu is 90 feet away from ending the night. Next pitch gets away. Back-to-back wild pitches on consecutive efforts. Yankees win on that. 7-6. They snap their three-game losing streak. It was the Yankees' 11th walk-off win this year. That's three more than anybody else. Also tied for the second most walk-off wins by any team before the All-Star break. Only the 74 Dodgers who made the World Series ever had more. Back to the basketball here, and we open today with the Donovan Mitchell news, the possibilities surrounding him. Donovan Mitchell now, the Utah Jazz open for business after sending away Rudy Gobert. Where will Mitchell wind up being traded to? That's where so much of the conversation in the NBA has gone. And we showed you Bobby Marks with a suggestion yesterday on NBA Today for a hypothetical trade that would take care of the two big orders of business in the NBA right now. It would move Kevin Durant from Brooklyn to Phoenix. You see the Nets would wind up with Donovan Mitchell. The Pacers would get the big man DeAndre Ayton, whom they clearly like, and the Jazz would start their rebuilding around Ben Simmons, Cam Thomas, and a whole bunch of draft picks. Now, notably absent from that, as I bring the Tims back this morning, Tim Legler and Tim Bontemps, notably absent from that, and wherever he is on his vacation right now, Stephen A. Smith is yelling at the screen. How about the Knicks? How about the Knicks? He has wanted Donovan Mitchell forever, and so have they. Yep. Where are they in this?
They're in pursuit of Donovan Mitchell, and I think ultimately they're going to wind up with Donovan Mitchell. And that's because, to your point, since Leon Rose got to the Knicks in 2020, they have been preparing for this moment. They've been stockpiling draft picks. He came from CAA. Donovan Mitchell is rep by CAA. They have been waiting to get a star player. Donovan Mitchell is the first star that's truly become available. They have 8 first-round picks to trade. Danny Ainge, as you said, got a bunch of first-round picks on the from the Minnesota Timberwolves to Rudy Gobert. I think the Knicks are perfectly positioned to finally get a star, get Donovan Mitchell back home to New York.
All right, so Tim Legler, let's talk about it. If they're able to make a draft pick-based trade, and they have all those first-rounders into the future, if they're able to make a trade that is based primarily in that, what would it make the New York Knicks going forward with Donovan Mitchell?
All right, well, first of all, I agree that they should go for this if they have an opportunity to do it. They need a guy that's got that kind of star power. He's got the personality and the charisma also that they're going to eat up in New York. But here's the real question. How much does Donovan Mitchell make the Knicks climb rungs in the ladder in the Eastern Conference? If we're being honest about it, I think they're still probably a play-in team. I don't think that the New York Knicks then would be a team that's guaranteed to be in the top six. I think they're somewhere in that play-in format, as good as Donovan Mitchell is, and he's an elite level scorer, I don't know that he moves the needle in terms of making the Knicks a contender. They would still be another, I think, either good, very good to great player away from getting into the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. It's just too good at the very top. And then there's teams in that 5-6 spot. When you look at Toronto and Chicago, I don't even think the Knicks necessarily would be better than them.
I agree with you completely, Tim, but to your point earlier, he is a star, and he could attract potentially other stars down the road. The Knicks have been waiting to get that first star, Donovan Mitchell being available. That is why it's important to them. He doesn't lift their ceiling right now that much, but he gives them upward mobility they don't have right now.
Well, so I'm looking at so they've got Jalen Brunson, who they've just paid all the, they're about to pay R.J. Barrett. I assume he's not who would be going in the other direction.
You would think they'd want to keep R.J. Barrett for sure.
So is it Julius Randle? I mean, is Utah making a trade for just the draft picks, or is there the other big name here, Julius Randle, Evan Fournier? Who else would be in this trade?
I think more likely this would be built around young guys. You know, it's hard to say exactly, but the Knicks have all these picks. They have guys like Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickley, Quentin Grimes. They have a bunch of young players they can put in besides R.J. Barrett. I'm sure they'd love to keep R.J. Barrett in that deal. So it's those other young guys, draft picks, that I think is the primary thing that's going to be the driver in this trade.
All right. So, I mean, these are all the possibilities that are out there. And as Summer League comes to an end, most of the NBA goes on vacation. But I would assume the Donovan Mitchell piece of this, you just said you think we're going to wait a while on the Durant news. The Donovan Mitchell of it all feels a little bit more imminent to me sitting here, but I'm not as connected to it you are. Is that right?
I agree with you because the Knicks in particular are motivated to go get Donovan Mitchell. So I think this, unlike the Kevin Durant situation where there's been, I would say, the Nets have not gotten the kind of offers they're looking for. To me, when the Utah Jazz now are saying they're open for business, to me, that's a sign that this is going to get done.
Tim Legler yesterday on this show, sitting right where you're sitting now, at least by my standpoint, because he was in a box just like you are, Nick Friedell said that this is the player, this is the move Miami needs to make. All this talk about Miami trying to get Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is harder to get for the Miami Heat, I would assume, just because he's Kevin Durant, than Donovan Mitchell is, and that if you team Mitchell with Jimmy Butler and that core, that's the move that should be made out there. Obviously, the Knicks are trying to become relevant. The Heat are trying to win a championship. Would Mitchell put them over the top?
Well, first of all, I didn't realize Nick Friedell was in my house yesterday. Apparently, you're saying he was sitting where I'm sitting right now. So I didn't see Nick. He should have at least stopped in the kitchen and said hi when I was eating breakfast. I did not see him. So give him credit. He's ninja-like in his ability to get in and out of houses. But, yeah. Looking at the Heat, listen, I actually would love Donovan Mitchell to be there because the one thing that Miami was exposed for late in the season was their inability to create offense individually outside of Jimmy Butler. I mean, Bam Adebayo had a very disappointing postseason. Even Tyler Hero, I know he dealt with injuries later in the year, but even before that, he was not the same player early in the playoffs that he was in the regular season. And they were exposed, I think, in that way. And it's just a tough sledding to go and let Jimmy Butler be the lone guy that can go create offense in these big moments. So I think Donovan Mitchell there makes a lot of sense if they're able to make that happen. Look, Donovan Mitchell is the type of player that can absolutely get you to another tier, but I think if you're talking about going to a place like the Knicks, that's an awful lot to ask to get into that top four, which is what we're talking about right now. If he goes to Miami, maybe some people would think that could potentially be the favorite to win the East, although you look at Boston, Milwaukee, and what they've got right now, it is very difficult to break through. But I actually love the pairing of Mitchell and Butler, hypothetically.
I think he'd be an incredible fit in Miami. They cannot outbid the Knicks. I just don't think they can get past the Knicks and give Utah enough to get a deal done.
Does Mitchell have any say in that? I mean, does he get to choose that to any degree?
I think to some degree, but the Knicks have enough to offer. It's not like he's going to someplace he doesn't want to be. He wants to be in New York.
And so a final thought on all of this for the moment is how are these things, if at all, intertwined? Which is to say, we got trade scenarios that people are proposing. You have them. Bobby Marks has them. Everyone does. That have Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant in them. If Mitchell gets traded to the Knicks or even the Heat in the scenario we're talking about, Right now, we're not discussing those in the realm of four-way trades. So if Mitchell gets traded to the Knicks, is that a signal that it's less likely that Durant winds up getting done?
Yeah, I think Donovan Mitchell's the kind of young star the Nets would love to get back in this kind of a deal. If he goes off the board, it's yet another reason to think Kevin Durant's going to be a Net next season.
Look, I mean, the reading the tea leaves, I said it here on Monday, and I've said it before. Mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until after my time. The way this is all going to end up is the Nets are going to run it back.
You just want to be going back to predicting the Nets are great again.
Well, yes, look, I picked them to go to the championship last year, and they didn't win a single playoff game. They got to make me look right somehow. Don't forget, we got WNBA action coming your way with Asia Wilson and the Aces in Connecticut. You'll see the action Sunday, 1 Eastern. It's on ABC and always available on the ESPN app. Back to football we will go next. Coming up, which quarterback needs to get to the Super Bowl this year more than any other? Chris Canty has a list you will not want to miss. It's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
He was done and then he wasn't. Tom Brady's back with the Bucks. Tampa's among the elite in the NFC, but do they have enough to get back to the Super Bowl? We dive into all things Brady and the Bucks as we travel around NFL training camps on Get Up.
We are ready for the start of this NFL season, as we always are. And you talk about Brady. Obviously, he's got all of those rings. But Chris Canty has put together a list today of the top five quarterbacks who you think most need to make the Super Bowl this year.
No doubt about it, G. And let's kick it off in Baltimore with number five on the list, Lamar Jackson. You got Bernard Pollard out here capping. You got executives around the NFL with Jeremy Fowler's survey saying he's not a top 10 quarterback. The only way to shut all of that talk down is to win and win big. Similar to what Joe Flacco did once upon a time in a contract year when he won the Super Bowl. Shout out to Mina Kimes because she said something about the criticism of Lamar Jackson. It's stuff that we heard before this guy even got into the NFL. It's starting to get old. It feels like it's lazy. Lamar Jackson's going to go out there with something to prove this year. Moving on to number four on the list, we got Dangerous. Switching gears, going from the Seahawks to the Denver Broncos. Gee, listen, the Broncos have a new ownership group. Russell Wilson's trying to make a good first impression so he can get another bag. He's 33 years old, and he sees Aaron Rodgers get $50 million a year. He's going to want some of that money from Rob Walton. Russell Wilson's got to go out there and prove it. And his team needs him to play awesome because he's in the toughest division in all of football. You could argue all quarterbacks in that division are top 10 players at the position. Moving on, number three, Josh Allen. And Greeny, this is a guy that's already got his bag, but the question is, can you have one of the highest paid quarterbacks and the highest paid wide receivers and win big in the National Football League? This is the test this year with this group. There aren't any excuses for Josh Allen. They got him a running game, drafting James Cook. Now you're talking about a player, a quarterback that has a top five offense and a top five defense. Josh Allen, you've gone to a conference championship. Now it's time to get over the hump, get to the Super Bowl. Number two, Dakota Rain Prescott. We know we have to talk about the Dallas Cowboys every single day on this show. This is what we do. It's a part of the quota. Listen, Dak Prescott, you got your bag. You got $40 million a year. That causes you to lose some players on the offense. Amari Cooper, gone. Lyle Collins, gone. Connor Williams, gone. Dak Prescott, you've got to overcome those losses in order for your team to win big like Jerry Jones wants to. And here's the thing, you pay a quarterback that kind of money because they can overcome the deficiencies on your team. If he needs everything to be perfect, then why are you paying him top five at the position? Doesn't make sense. Dak Prescott, you got to get it done. Only one playoff win for a quarterback that got a $160 million contract. Keep that in perspective.
So who could be ahead of him?
You know who's ahead of him, G? Aaron bleeping Rodgers. He's ahead of him. Why? He got $50 million, and they had to get rid of his number one receiver, who also happens to be the number one receiver in the entire National Football League. Expectations come along with getting that bag. There's no way around it. And we judge this guy with how we judge the other GOAT quarterbacks, by championships, fair or unfair. Before we can put Aaron Rodgers in that GOAT conversation with Tom Brady, with Peyton Manning, with Joe Montana, how about you get to another Super Bowl? How about you win another Super Bowl? You can't be in the GOAT conversation and you only got one ring. ring. You got to have multiple rings. Aaron Rodgers, you better go out there and get it this year.
I think I speak for everyone when I say two things. One, you're very good with these lists. Two, as we bring Brooke Pryor into the conversation here, and I think we have Darlington as well. Here's what I like about it. They're all under pressure and all for different reasons. So it's really sort of how you look at it. Lamar Jackson is playing to shut everybody up. Russell Wilson is playing for immortality to be one of the all-time greats. Josh Allen is playing to be the best in the sport at his position. Dak Prescott is probably trying to save his coach's job, among other things. And then to your point, Aaron Rodgers is playing for a degree of immortality. Brooke, how do you see the list?
I would put Dak ahead of Aaron Rodgers, although I was very convinced. In fact, I was a little bit scared if I'm Aaron Rodgers with all that yelling. Okay, fine, I'll win. I look at Dak Prescott. He has the pressure on himself, also the organization. 1-3 in playoff games, and they've won, what, 4 playoff games since 1996? He needs to get to the Super Bowl. It's not enough for him to just win another playoff game when he's getting paid that contract that he gets paid. Like you said, he got the bag. Just a playoff win doesn't justify the bag. So put him in the Super Bowl.
And the reality is that being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in and of itself just comes with another layer of pressure. Jeff Darlington, what do you think?
I am trying to find a flaw in this list just for the sake of debate, but I bow down. You have made the subjective feel objective. This is perfect, Canty. You nailed it. I tried to say maybe Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen could potentially be flipped, and then I realized I forgot that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson were taken in the same draft class, and Lamar Jackson hasn't even gotten paid yet. So absolutely, there is more pressure on Josh Allen at this point. The only sleeper guy, and I think the list is perfect. You know what I was just thinking about? Who else could belong in that list? And this is one probably no one would say. Kirk Cousins. And I only say that because that guy's gotten paid so much money to be a Super Bowl quarterback, and he never even got close to it. You know what I mean? I know we forget about him. We assume he's not going to make it. But that guy really should have gotten a Super Bowl.
I guess. I mean, it's an interesting one. I will say this. If you had put Kirk Cousins on the list instead of Lamar Jackson, the entire conversation would have been about the inclusion
totally agree.
Of Kirk Cousins.
No, I agree. The list is perfect.
The thing about Lamar Jackson, I think that Lamar Jackson becomes the most interesting one in all of this, because the conversation that would ensue, if he is the one of the five on this screen that winds up winning the Super Bowl this year, ahead of all these others and all the rest, the Patrick Mahomeses and the Tom Brady's and all the other legends that we didn't put on here because they're not under the same kind of pressure, Lamar Jackson would rewrite the conversation in a way that nobody else on the list possibly could.
There's no question about it, G, and here's the thing. Conventional wisdom says if you want to do high-level winning and get to a Super Bowl, you have to have a quarterback who consistently wins from the well, wins from the pocket. That is what their strong suit is. We know that's not Lamar Jackson's forte, but if Lamar Jackson were to find a way to be able to do it his way, then all of a sudden that opens up the doors for other quarterbacks that play his similar style of game in the college ranks and in the National Football League. It changes the perception of what you need from a quarterback in order to win a championship.
It's a really good list. All right, we can put them up there and you can debate them on social media. In the meantime, you mentioned college football. We have big stories from there as well. The Big 12 had their media days beginning yesterday in Arlington, Texas. Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy spoke up on rival Oklahoma's move to the SEC and the future of the Big 12 conference. Here's what Gundy had to say.
The future in Bedlam is a year or two left. I mean, that's the future of Bedlam. based on somebody else's decision, I'm convinced that the Big 12 will be here for a long time. The brand and what we have at this point moving forward in Oklahoma State will be a very, very marketable opportunity in the future.
All right, so Heather Dinich is there covering for us in Arlington, Texas. There has never been a set of circumstances quite like the ones that they're dealing with right now in the Big 12 with all of this realignment swirling around them. What kinds of things are you hearing down there during this unique time?
Well, it was interesting to hear incoming Commissioner Brett Yormark say out loud for the first time publicly what everyone has been whispering behind closed doors, which is they are very interested in considering further conference realignment possibilities, and they are exploring all options. He said repeatedly, the Big 12 is open for business. I spoke to him one-on-one afterwards and asked him about a timeline about it. He said it's fluid, nobody knows. He said we're not going to make a deal for the sake of making a deal, but if there's something that adds value, they're going to consider it. Greeny, he said he's received a lot of phone calls, a lot of interest, and they're vetting that interest. But it's important to note note that the Pac-12 schools, sources have told me, they want to know the bottom line. Where are they going to make the most money? They need that answer from both conferences, from the Pac-12 and the Big 12, before they can make a decision of that magnitude. And before they do that, they need to know how these TV contracts are going to play out, and that could take a long time.
All right. In the meantime, you've got USC, you've got Oklahoma, you've got Texas. You have a lot of traditional powerhouses that have already taken a seat in this game of musical chairs. But the biggest fish is still out there, and that's Notre Dame. So yesterday, the Hall of Famer Steve Spurrier was on KJM on ESPN Radio. Here's what he said about what the Irish need to do.
I would think that they would get into the modern times and join a conference and play for the conference championship and go from there. But seems like they want to stay independent. But I would think it would really be a lot bigger deal if they did join either the Big Ten or the ACC and go from there.
So there's the Big Ten. There's the ACC. I don't suppose the SEC can be ruled out in this completely. Where are we at this point with Notre Dame, Heather?
Well, the last time I spoke to Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director, which was fairly recently, he told me that they're not in any rush to make any decision. There's time to make to see how the landscape settles, so to speak. And it should point out that if they were to join a conference contractually right now, it would have to be the ACC. Unless they were to withdraw their other sports, of course, they'd have to pay an exit fee, the grant of rights fee, and then their football team could play wherever they want. I do not sense from Big Ten sources right now that there's any real motivation to add any more teams unless it were the Irish. A source in the Big Ten told me they move the needle a little bit differently, but I don't sense anything being imminent.
All right, we will see. And again, there'll be news today. Texas and Oklahoma will speak today at the media days there in Arlington. You'll be there to cover it for us, and we'll talk tomorrow. Heather, thanks as always. Meanwhile, here's a look at our featured event lineup this weekend and next week. Saturday afternoon, UFC Fight Night main card on ABC. Home Run Derby Monday from Dodger Stadium on ESPN. First episode of The Captain premieres right after that on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And then don't miss the ESPYs with Steph Curry as the host Wednesday night on ABC. Coming up, let's make a deal. Could KD and Donovan Mitchell be involved in the same mega trade? We have a proposal that would shake up the entire sport, and you'll hear the details next. Get up on ESPN.